Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. We're so glad you're here with us. I want to remind you the number is 323-203-0815. And remember, you'll call into the studio and the studio will call you back. So when you get that strange number coming up on your caller ID, make sure to answer it. It's probably us. Okay, so Sue has some things to tell us that's going on with Dr. Allen, and I think you guys will all be interested to hear them. Sue, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We have added once a month a live webinar, and it will be, the next one is Thursday, November 17th. From 6:15 till 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. It's $10. You can register on the wantistore.com, and you can log in and listen and ask questions to Dr. Allen on our interactive webinar. And we also have one on Thursday, December 15th as well. And then we do still have, in the people that live in the Southern California area, we have monthly life script classes and monthly dream classes. At this time, I have openings for the dream class on December 17th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 4. It's $100. It's limited to 6 people. And Dr. Allen, you bring your dreams in and Dr. Allen helps you interpret them, teaches you how to interpret your own dreams. The life script class, I have the next class is Saturday, January 7th. It's from 9 to 4 in the Newport Beach office. And then we have one February 4th, limited to 6 people. And that class is $150. And Dr. Allen will talk a little bit about what LifeScript is. And for the people that do not live in the area to attend the class, Dr. Allen can also do a personal LifeScript reading. It's like a private session. It takes about an hour. If you'd like information, you can contact me at info, I-N-F-O, at drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen .com. Oh, wait, no, that's our website. It's info. What's our email for me?
I think it's info at drpatallen.com.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, then that is it. Okay. Take it away.
Okay. So, Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. I want to speak to you and to anyone who wants to call in.
Great. Well, we have had a lot of questions coming in through the net today. Good. And yesterday. So while we're waiting on our callers, I'll go ahead and ask a few of those. Let's start off with this one. This one says, emergency question. Help, Dr. Allen. I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to go on a blind date tomorrow night, but the man I've been seeing for a month and a half is calling me every day, told me he has so much love for me and is acting like he's my boyfriend, but he's not asked me to be exclusive. Your normal advice, I know, is to wait until he asks for sex, but he knows I'm waiting until marriage, so he will never ask for that. What do I do? I do not want to betray him by going on a date with someone else, but I want to love myself well and him and our future relationship by not being prematurely monogamous like you warn about. My date is tomorrow and I don't know if I should cancel.
Yes, you have to prioritize each and every day. We all, if we're single, we have to prioritize the rank order of the first 3 men in our life that we're interested in. And whoever's number one outranks number two and two to three. So if you have a number one and he's asked you out and you have a date with another person, what you say is to the second person, something has come up which is very significant. And so I want to ask for a rain check on our date.
Okay. All right. Terrific. Okay, here we have another one. Hello there. I hope life is well. My questions are, I am in a committed relationship for 6 months. I assume he is partially masculine, Western, partially Eastern cultured man. We started dating 6 months ago and we're in a committed relationship. My boyfriend has a tendency to withdraw when he does not agree with something or when he's angry. He will not text me, for example. Isn't that feminine behavior? Or is this a man who keeps in his cave?
Whatever his rationale, you can either leave him alone, give him 8 weeks for him to come out of his cocoon and speak up, or just go past it and ask you out and pick up where he left off. Or you can use one of the tools. And I suggest the one that is respectfully making an appointment to bring up a touchy subject, a la, I have something I want to ask you about our relationship. Would it be convenient for you to hear my question today, now? Make an appointment. When he says yes, what is it? I sense by your silence that something's gone on that has turned you off, down, whatever. And I'm wondering if this is true. Are you angry about something? And if so, would you be willing to tell me what it is so that I might learn from it or respond to it or ask for a deeper explanation?
Well, that seems completely logical. She does note later on in her statement that he thinks agreeing on things in a relationship sounds like a business contract, and that's no way to love.
I know it's the demonstration that love is occurring, because the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments that you're willing to make and keep. And three of the commitments that you make when you have a committed relationship is, number one, monogamy, sexually and socially. You don't portray yourself as available after you've made an agreement with you or someone. Second is compatibility. First we have to have a chemistry, then compatibility, which means that your lives fit together. He doesn't work all day and you work all night, and therefore you can't really date each other. And the third one is communication. And that means you respect and cherish your other human being to the point where you use the tools on bad days. And what are the tools? Well, for a woman, the tools are basically that she always asks her man what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, his suggestions, you see, and what she can do to help him. The second tool is when she has something to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, which is the case here, she makes an appointment for the subject and the convenience. And the third tool is how to fight with him when he's not immoral. You don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. But something's going on, which you're picking up from the 90% of communication conveyed by tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions, which is what's going on in this particular conversation. And then last but not least is, compatibility, communication, and, well, that's it.
That's
it. Chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Now, if he's not willing to give you an appointment time, then you're going to have to practice the four bad communication techniques, which will then make it free for him to accuse you of not being a good communicator. And bad communication is, number one, evasive. I'll marry you someday. Maybe I'll listen to you. Second is secretive. you have to sense by my body language that something's wrong and come after me, and I may not still be willing to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Condescension, I don't need to answer you. 4, abrupt, shut up.
Right.
I'm going.
Okay.
See you around.
I hope our listener got that message. And Dr. Ellen, we have a caller on the air. Caller, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What could we do for you?
Well, I actually have a few questions, but you can feel free to answer just as many as you'd like or as much time as you can give me. First question is, you have mentioned before that if the man is married 3 times, that he's just basically trading women in. But what if 2 of the 3 have cheated on him?
Wait a minute. I said that if a man has been married 3 times, he's what?
That he's basically trading women in.
I never said that.
Oh, well, I guess that's my miscommunication because I've been listening to your podcast and all of your radio shows, and I could have sworn that I've heard that.
I've never said it because it doesn't fit in to my vernacular. The truth of the matter is it doesn't matter how many times he's been married. It happens to be your responsibility to take take care of yourself so that you're not number 4. He has a right to be married 15 times. But the people that join him need to practice good communication skills.
Okay.
So, you may have interpreted, but I've never said count the times he's been married. Or here's a better one. He's never been married. And I thought, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
I'd have to find out if he's never been in a committed relationship, because mating and marriage are the same chemistry, compatibility, and communication, except one has financial security and stability, and one does not.
Okay.
So, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
All right. Do you have another question?
I do, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Another thing that I've heard before on your radio show.
Well, wait a minute. We're going to add something.
I thought I've heard you say before about men that like hard-bodied women, that they are shallow.
Oh, I say that all the time. That's not shallow.
Okay.
Men pick with their eyes, and they touch with their hands, and they know. And in fact, this is really, this is get down, whatever. The reason men like oral sex, going down on women, is very biological. They can taste and smell illness.
Mm.
Men like healthy bodies. 2/3 of the men in the world want sensual and sexual stability. 2/3 of the women want status and financial stability, which means, do you own that house? Oh, is that your car? You see? So we're not gold diggers. We're simply looking for financial stability. And they're not polyamorous sex maniacs because they want a woman to take care of herself. Do you see? Now, a man can marry a woman in a wheelchair, and you've seen him pushing women around in wheelchairs. But that woman still has to be responsible for taking care of as much of her body as she can, because if she doesn't, she basically is ruining her body, which impacts him seriously. He can accept disabilities, he can accept handicaps, but self-destruction is a turnoff.
Okay. So, in addition to the hard body, an extension of that question is, what if you're with a man who constantly works out? We're talking more than 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Is he addicted to dopamine? And for example,
did you say he wants sex? How long? Are you talking about sex?
No. He works out 2 to 2.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Is that an addiction to dopamine? Because that's an extension to my question about the hard body. Like, I'm very petite. I'm very little. I just don't work out. And that was a major issue in our relationship.
Well, your body capacity, your muscle tone can be damaged by not exercising. Is the best thing you can do for mental health, physical health, spiritual health. Now, a man who, remember what an addiction is. An addiction is doing a normal thing to the point you're in trouble. So if a man is exercising, I had a woman call yesterday, and she said, I've got to tell my husband that I'm terrified that he's going to lose his job because he's spending so much time at the gym. And the answer for that is he may be an epinephrine addict. He may be literally addicted to the chemistry that is produced when you exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client years and years ago. She worked through her set of bone hips. They put in replacements, and she worked through the set of artificial hips. That's an addict.
Wow. Well, this one also has this man that I dated me. He has had 7 knee surgeries and continues to go to the gym. Even went the day after his last knee surgery.
He sounds like an addictive man. I'm not so sure it's dopamine. Exercise produces endorphins and enkephalins.
Oh, okay. So it's just the wrong brain chemical that I'm referring to?
Well, yeah. You're referring to the things that produce dopamine are sex and handling money and taking mind-altering chemicals that are dopamine, meth, cocaine, do you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We produce addictive chemistry, and we can buy it on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But if we use it to the point we're in trouble, we're addictive personalities.
Uh-huh. Okay, one last quick question, if you don't mind.
I want
to
refer to a book, The Craving Brain by Dr. Rudin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for those of you that are... Wait a minute, I want to give another book. There's a great book by Kay Shepard called From the First Bite. And the first bite is sugar or sugar-based food, carbohydrate, sugar-based food. Sugar is the biggest addictive chemistry there is. Everything in the brain is based on using sugar. And so we crave food that contains sugar, sugar, booze. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, now go on.
Last question, so you can get someone else in.
You just deprecated yourself. I will tell you when I'm done with your questions.
Oh, okay. Thank you. The 45 to 55, I understand that we start getting progesterone, which is our form of testosterone, and then start getting their testosterone starts to go down. What if a man is supplementing, like women do, hormonally with more testosterone?
What that does is it helps him build muscle mass, but it does not help. What men don't realize is that they need to get their estrogen checked too, because that impacts their temperament, their feelings. And we women, we're taking estrogen, you see, whether the good kind or the bad kind, we're taking that in order to short-circuit the negativity effect of the loss of the estrogen. But it still doesn't make us fertile. It simply changes the characteristics that we demonstrate. So for men, it's body, it's muscle building, but it doesn't necessarily, they don't take it to feel good. They take it to be good physically and sexually. We use...
So that doesn't change the whole thing about a man becoming more feminine, or does that alter that at all?
No. What it does is men think that they're impacting the estrogen part of their system when they're not. They can be wonderfully muscular but depressed to the floor. So I advise men to check not only their testosterone but their estrogen. And women who, for example, are non-orgasmic are very subject to testosterone patches to rev them up.
Okay.
Your gynecologist can help you with that.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, I think we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Not there.
Hi, caller. Hello? You're on the air.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
I called maybe a couple weeks ago, and it was me and my fiance. We're trying to figure out the financial situation, and you gave me great advice. And I just wanted to learn a little bit more about how to navigate
finances.
What was
the great advice?
Basically, you know, he makes a lot more money than me, and we merged our accounts, and he spends a lot.
Oh, that's right. I remember you.
Yes. So I did, you know, go back to him and say, you know, that I had this great idea. we agreed that that made sense.
Feel free to take credit for what I tell you.
I didn't want him to think I, you know, was going outside and asking everybody questions.
I want you to do that.
Okay, thank you.
It's as good as wearing makeup or a good bra.
Thank you. So he, you know, he was like, okay, you know, that's fine. He was still very suspicious about,
you know. Did he go for dollar, for dollar? No. Or did he go
for... It was percent. No. Percent.
Percent.
It was... Yeah, so it basically comes down to he can spend $2,000 a month, and I can spend... It's $2,000 a month for him and $800 a month for me. Without,
and are you comfortable with the percentage type?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you made a lot of sense. It's really hard for me to wrap my mind around, though, because I really do see his money as my money. So
it did take me... Oh, how clever of you.
I think I grew up in a household where my mom was the man and she was in control of everything and just had men in her life that she gave allowances to. So this is completely different from what I'm used to.
So you were scripted for a covenant, but you've got a man that would rather have a convenience.
Oh yes, that sounds right.
A convenience is where you each contribute.
Right. Yes.
A covenant is where one man or one woman pays. Your mother paid in her marriage.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And so your dad was her wife.
Yes, that is correct.
So, and that's okay. I have no problem with that.
It's okay. I just realized I feel more comfortable in, once I learned about the masculine and the feminine, I feel much more comfortable in the feminine role.
Then you've got to find a man that's comfortable in the masculine role. Men don't...
Oh, and he is.
Don't like to be seen as bankers, and women don't want to be seen as resident sex slaves. So we each have to decide, do we want to get laid or paid as a priority? More women want to get paid and more men Absolutely. Want to get laid. But both
yes, and
are
me and,
okay.
Yeah, and we have, I think we have a, we are
in our roles quite comfortably. But I just, you know, so the last week I withdrew $200, which usually I don't just withdraw the money. I'll just make the purchases. And, you know, he did ask me, oh, so you withdrew $200. What did you need that for? And I thought, gosh, that's not our agreement. No, why are you asking not. Me?
It's not. Being accountable for what you're spending your money on, which he's given you, your pocket money, your walkabout money, makes it household money. There's household money and there's personal allowance.
Yes. So what I was trying to explain to him is, you know, I don't want to be questioned about that personal money. I go,
Did you tell him he had a right to ask to be in charge? Did you say you have every right to want to know what I spent my money on? But I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable telling you.
I got close to something like that. I definitely, because I listen to your show and read your book. So I got very close to that. I don't think my first sentence was probably quite that good, but I did.
I want you always. If you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, make them right for what they're irritating you with.
Okay. I got to remember that piece.
That's respect.
But, yeah. You know, I feel like with him, I feel like I read your books, I listen to your show, I can preach this idea of respect, but I think somewhere down deep, there's a little rebellious part of me that doesn't want to or doesn't.
Was your mother a narcissist? Did she want respect and cherishing?
Yes.
So you have to prioritize.
Okay.
When one of the assets of never marrying or mating is you get to be narcissistic. It's interesting. You get to be a man. And you get to be a woman. I don't feel good about this. But once you form a team, a mated team, as a convenience or as a covenant, you designate whether you want to be respected first, cherished second, or cherished first and respected second. But if you want both, you're a narcissist.
Okay.
So was your mother a narcissist?
Yes, definitely.
Do you have any sisters?
I do.
Are they narcissists, or is anybody in your family in a relationship where they respect their man or their woman enough to follow them unless they're immoral, unethical, or illegal?
No, nobody in my family. I've never seen that.
So you're a family full of narcissists.
Probably, yes.
Do all of you women have wussy men?
Yes, until this, my current fiance, who is very masculine man. And so.
Okay, but you're disrespecting him, so I'm not sure you're going to ever make it to the altar.
That's why I'm calling. I mean, I'm not horribly messing this up, but.
Chinese water drip treatment will drive you crazy, just like any other crazy treatment. Do you understand what you're saying to me? I want to be respected and cherished, and that means he has to be a zero.
Okay.
Zero?
Yes.
Are your sisters men zeros?
Yes, as zero as it gets.
And why do you want to have a man? You're not trained to have a man.
Yeah, because I like how it feels when I am in the right, you know, when I am coming from that place.
You should see how horrible he feels when you're not in that space.
Oh, he tells me. He tells me how horrible it is.
So you don't mind losing him. I had a lady today who has been engaged for 10 years. Her man wants to marry, but she doesn't want to give up her right to be respected and cherished. Guess what he did? Threw her out of his house.
Well, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, I just need to understand.
How long have you been with him?
4.5 years.
This lady was thrown out at 10 years, and he told her, because they came to me a long time ago, but she thought he was a wuss like all the other men in her family. Guess what? He's not a wuss. He was just very patient, but he finally got done with her, and now she's out on the street.
So how, I just need to learn the respecting him through the power issue we're having is money, and I just need to learn better how to respect in this area.
Hear what I said. You have, the way you set up the money was percentage.
Yes.
That's your contribution to the relationship.
Yes.
If you didn't have any money and he liked it that way, you would be in a convenient, you would be in a covenant relationship. But you're in a convenient relationship where you both contribute.
Okay.
He is not going to allow you to use his money as if it's your money, while you get to use your money as if it's your money.
Okay.
So okay. Do you want a convenience or a covenant?
Convenience, I think. I'm getting confused with
all
these words.
Well, that's what you just agreed, because you said you're both turning in so much percentage of your income.
And there's nothing wrong with the are you saying there's something wrong with convenience?
Not at all. I'm saying you just told me that you picked a convenient relationship and you and he are both contributing to the kitty that pays the bills for the relationship.
Right. And that can work, right?
Of course it can work. You get your leftover money and he gets his leftover money. But why should you get his money, you see? That he earned, when the truth is, you both work and you both contribute the same percentage. Now, if he wants to gift you things, that's his business. But expecting it is gold digger.
Okay. And I think, and tell me if this is completely off too, is, you know, we have goals, you know, we want to save for a house, we want to pay off a loan he has for his business. These are goals he's set. So if he overspends any given month, I get upset because I feel
wait
like
a minute,
he's
wait
not.
A minute. How can he overspend if you have a joint account to pay your bills?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have percentages going into savings?
Yes.
Do you contribute? Like,
yeah, but our percents are very different, you know, because
he
makes a lot more. Well, he makes a lot more, so.
But he makes his percentage.
Yes.
The money left is his PIN money.
So. But when he spends over his PIN money, and then it has to come out of the savings and the bills, that's
then
the part
breaking
that gets,
the agreement.
Well, that's the part I get upset about. I've learned to shut my yang mouth.
That's the part you say to him. I want to talk to you about our agreement to do a percentage of our incomes. Is it convenient for you to talk now? Yeah. You have every right to agree to a percentage contributing to the kitty of the relationship. But I am very upset that you are spending money, you see, out of your pocket, out of our pocket. You see, you're spending some of the money that should go into the kitty for your personal expenses. Well, it's my money. No, you said you'd give this much percentage of your income, and I would do the same.
Okay, so that's exactly where the issue is coming up for us.
Then he's not keeping the agreement.
Okay.
Are you willing to go back and make an appointment and to confront him with this broken agreement?
Yes, Yes, I can. I just have to be clear on the two different things. There's the issue of his spending money. I need to keep my mouth shut and not, you know, make
spending
any, you know, not be in
pocket money is none of your business.
Right. So there I have to learn to stay quiet.
If he spends the money that's supposed to go into his percentage, you have a right to speak up.
Okay. So that is where I will practice the difference those two, because they're getting blurred.
Good. No, they're not blurred. They're very definite.
Oh, no, I think I'm blurring them because I'm just getting upset and it's all becoming one mishmash of I'm upset about money.
No, dear, you're upset about not controlling all the money. That's your narcissism. I want you to be upset with the broken agreement.
Okay.
That's
I can
where
do that.
That's where you have validity.
Okay, and one more thing. So when he asked me about the $200 and I said, well, you know, I'm doing it for this reason, that reason, and I have two kids that are not his children. And I said, I'm buying the kids this, and that. And I told him, and I said, you know, sometimes you get a little bit, you know, you want to know. And when I tell you I'm buying things for the kids, I notice you shift a little. And it came out that, you know, not in a mean way, but he says, it's really hard for me to know that I'm working, you know, night and day and supporting you and the kids. He goes, it's nothing against you.
He's
I love supporting. You. I know what I got myself
He's
into.
Not supporting you and the kids. You are throwing your percentage into the kitty from your income. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's just like I said. It's
the money you're spending is what's left over from your investment. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think just to give you an idea, it's like I bring home about $3,800 a month and he brings in $15,000.
It doesn't matter. He has a right to control his money.
Okay.
But he wants to control your money and he wants to be able to control his money to the extent that he breaks his agreement to put his investment money into the estate. So you better clean that up because that's a big deal.
Okay.
Will Thanks, Dollar.
Thank you so much. Okay.
You're
Have
welcome.
A nice night. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Do you see how clear things can be when you make agreements, how they mishmash around?
Exactly. I think we have Hello? Another caller on. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're fine. What can we do for you?
Okay, I have two questions. I'm going to try to make it really quick. One is for a friend of mine that wanted to call, but she's still at work. So she asked me, could I call on her behalf? So I'm calling for her, but I know the story. Basically, she had a romance with a coworker. They worked together. I want to say he's in his late 20s, early 30s, and she's in her mid-30s.
Does the company have a no fraternization policy?
Not that I know of.
Around.
I guess, yes. I guess you could say he works in a different department on the same floor, but they're not, they don't work directly together. And
okay,
it's been almost a year.
Wait. Uh-huh. Is there a company policy of not dating employees? Co-workers.
No, there isn't.
All right.
No,
so
there isn't.
They're free to date.
Correct. Yes.
All right.
And
so
they started. Basically, the problem is they've known each other for about a year. In the beginning, he was taking her out on dates. And then after a couple of months of that, it started to be, let's just hang out, where she would either go to his house or he would go to her house and they would just basically hang out at the house. And then she started to be like, well, I still want to go out on dates. Why aren't you taking me out on dates? And he would say, sure, let's go on a date. And then he would basically cancel the date, or it would be an excuse that would come up. But then he would still text her and say hi and good morning. And they would kind of go back
Are
and forth on the text flirting.
In a committed sexual relationship?
No, they're not in a committed sexual relationship. She just slept with him about a month ago for the first time. She had intercourse with him for the first time about a month ago. And
well, is that
no,
mean they're in a committed relationship?
No, that's the problem. She's trying to figure out why he won't ask her out on dates. Like, they haven't been on a real date in months, like in terms of going to dinner or going out or what have you.
Dates. I'm worried about the non-monogamous, non-continuous. Look, they've got chemistry. So they took a while, but now they're having their hangout sex, right?
Yes, I believe it only happened once they had sex. I don't think it was more than once.
Okay, so they've had sex. They've had their wedding night. They work near each other, but they're not negotiating and building anything. They're just hanging out. It's called hooking up.
But she keeps telling him that she wants him to take her out, and she's saying that she thinks that
problem. She's telling him what she wants him to do. Here's how she would speak. Honey, I'm going to use honey for a name. Honey, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it convenient now? Hopefully today, sometime. And he would say, maybe, yes. You know, I've enjoyed dating you the way we've been hanging out and dating. But I really want to negotiate how we spend our time and where we go. And what our plans are for the future. So time, space, money, and play. In fact, that's chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do. So she's got to
read the book.
But she's not asking for a negotiation once a week, once a month, to negotiate time spent together or apart, you know, where they go.
Because they're not going out. That's the problem. They're not going out on dates. They're not doing anything but texting back and forth at work.
She's not saying, I'm not comfortable not going out on a date once a week. I want a date once a week when I get married. So unless you're willing to go out on a formal date once a week, we're through.
Okay, but she's saying that she feels like he does like her and that they do have, as you say,
darling,
chemistry.
You know what she is? Wait a minute. She's a free wife. They just stay home. Okay. They're married.
Well, they're not doing anything right now. That's the problem. They haven't hung out or anything, to my knowledge, in a month or so since they had sex.
He still
texts her, and like the other day, he asked her, what did she do for the weekend? She told him she went out on a date with another guy, and she said after that he kind of became distant, but he still texts, and she says sometimes she sees him in the office, and he looks like he's afraid of her or whatever, and she just doesn't know what to do because it's just like flirting texts
her,
like, hey, good morning, how are you, that type of thing.
I want her to read my book, and I want her to go to chapter 14 and set up an appointment. If he calls her up, tell him that she's no longer interested in a casual hookup relationship. And if he wants to build something leading to marriage, she'd love to do it.
But don't you think that that's a little much, since they're not even in a relationship, to say marriage?
Wait a minute.
She's not his girlfriend.
They've had their wedding night. They've had intercourse. You can get an annulment from a marriage if you don't have intercourse. Do you understand? They've had intercourse.
Right.
So they've done what the law requires to recognize that they are forming a sexual relationship, maybe leading to marriage, maybe not. But she's got to negotiate. She was supposed to negotiate time, space, money, and play before she had intercourse with him.
Right.
So she did it backwards, Dr. Allen. Is there any getting back from doing that backwards?
Right.
Yeah, it's called when he calls her and he asks her what she's doing, she's going to say to him, I am dating other people because you apparently are not willing to negotiate with me and build with me. So if you want me as your woman leading to marriage, please feel free to call. If you don't, I'm not going to be answering your texts, your phone calls, unless you're willing to do it, because it keeps my feelings up for you, and I don't want to.
Got it. Okay. So I will let her know. And she's going to listen to this recording, I'm sure, later on, too.
Good.
So she'll be
Good.
Able to hear what you had to say. And my question for me, really quickly, is a guy recently started dating me. I guess you could say dating me. We went out on one date this past Monday, and I think he's in his 50s. He won't tell me his exact age, but I think he's in his 50s, so I wanted to know, even though I want to be cherished, I know when men are in their 50s, and I want to say he may be like 52, 53, around that, maybe a little bit older. How do I proceed? I'm in my 30s. I'm in my late 30s, and he's in
his
50s, and I still want to be cherished.
This is what you do. You require him to cherish you, but when he speaks, if he says, you know what? I don't feel very good about watching this program. I want to watch this other program. What do you think? He can now, from now on, say what he feels and ask you what you think. Or he can say what he thinks and ask you what you feel. So give him the right to say what he feels, then you tell him what you think, or give him the right to say what he thinks and tell him what you feel about it. Float
so
with
just to
him.
Do the, okay, so do the opposite. That's what I was asking. Because right now, with most guys I date, I tell them how I feel. When they ask me, what do I think? I say how I feel. So with
I understand
him,
that,
I need
but
to
those
just
guys,
do the opposite. Or,
those guys huh? are under 45.
Yes, for the most part, yeah.
But he's over that.
Right.
In his
right.
50s. So listen to what I'm saying. And there is a set of CDs on my website that's called The Over 50 Relationship. All it requires is that when a woman is over 50, she can say what she thinks and ask him what he feels, or she can say what she feels and ask him what he thinks. And he can do the same. But in your case, you're in your 30s, so you want to be cherished all the time.
Right.
But he, at his age, is now fluctuating between estrogen and testosterone. So if he says what he feels, tell him what you think. If he tells you what he thinks, tell him what you feel.
Okay.
Track
since,
him.
Gotcha.
And since she wants to be cherished, Dr. Allen, you mentioned because she's in her 30s.
Yes.
She wants to be cherished all the time.
Yes.
She has to really decide.
Or she has to make an appointment to switch. When she wants to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, she's got to make an appointment so he can follow her.
Now, does this tie into what you talk about, Dr. Allen, with respect to 51% worth it?
Yes.
Okay. So could you go over that a little bit? Because I have a question here that kind of pertains to this question about a couple who are married and the one party feels like the other party is switching roles. And my advice...
Well, they may be growing old.
My statement was, you better decide before you make some rash decision whether or not this person is 51% valuable to you. And I gave them your example of the 30-day list of, you know, because no one's 51% worth it every day. Sometimes they're 22%.
It's really bad.
So could you touch on that a little bit, Dr. Allen? Because they're listening tonight, too.
Well, your morals, your code of ethics is yours personally. And only you can say what's 51% valuable. Why am I with him? He doesn't make much money, but he's really fun. Or he doesn't do this, but he's really that. You have to know on the bad days why you're with somebody. I used to laugh and say, when I was mad at my husband who died, I stayed because he had two gorgeous Oriental rugs and two empty desks that I didn't want to lose by getting a divorce. So the two desks and two rugs were enough to keep me. But you have to know why you're with somebody when you don't like them. And days go by when you like each other and you don't like each other. That's just life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with that age, is it ever okay to lead? Or is a woman supposed to continue to remain in the feminine?
I got news
like
for you.
For me?
I already give you the right to lead by making an appointment to lead.
I see. Everything. Okay. So it still goes back to the appointment. But just in general.
But when you're dealing with a man in his 50s, he's not going to ask for appointments. He's going to automatically switch because he's on estrogen and testosterone.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. So
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, caller. Dr. Allen, real quick, what you got to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is like the commitment you're willing to make and keep.
Excellent. Follow us on Facebook. You know how to find us. Go to Dr. Allen's website. Sign up for the newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back with you next week. We love you.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.